Kneeling by my bed, folded hands and tilted head, I thank the Lord for my water and my bread. Thankful to be a part of God's flock of chosen sheep, waking from my slumber while the world is still asleep. Freedom loving, patriotic, deplorable bum. I reside in the States, but Scotland is where I'm from. Sometimes I feel defeated, but we will always stand tall. Fighting with my family, we go one, we go all. We may fall. Our Bibles and talk of bread and wine, indoctrinate our children, throw the world into decline. We the people need to stand firm and understand that without liberty and freedom, all we have is dirt and land. Holding the sword high, I'll stand firmly through the pain. What I have lost is but the wisdom I have gained. If you find me on my knees, it's not because I'm defeated. It was my prayer before the war, the only weapon I needed. Never waste the gifts that the Lord has so given. If at the end of my life, a decision you should make, I will be your servant and a warrior whose soul you will take. And we may fall, holding the line. Yeah, we may fall, but we'll be fine. The world will see the global crimes. Oh, the veil will lift in God's due time.
We are many nations and many cultures around the world. Together, we fight a war between good and evil. But we are united as one, as the children of God.
Good evening, everybody. How is my family doing tonight? Guys, this is Kilt a Christian, episode 592. Patriot Transition voice, Steve Lundgren here, and our guest, Natasha Guthrie, is here with us as well. It's going to be a very interesting conversation, a very emotional conversation, and one that needs to be had. So I am looking forward to that. So if we get going, guys, let's go ahead and we'll bring in Steve and say hello to Steve, who is not in Alaska right now. Hey, brother.
No. God, good to see you, man. It's been a long night. So, you know, we left finally Anchorage at 30:30 in the morning, 2 hours later than we were supposed to, missing our connection. running into our hotel room to do this show. We're two tired, very tired people right now.
I know you literally came from the airport and said, all right, man, I'm heading there right now. And then we popped on and started doing our tests.
Yes. Yes. And mind everyone, I'm doing this on my phone, not from my laptop or camera, and the microphone. Didn't have time to get it all set up. So,
well,
thank you for everyone being here.
Well, I'm glad that you're here, man. You made it. Everyone who hops on a Boeing airplane right now is just crazy, in my opinion, man. And you survived, though.
Yeah, well, the funny story about it is the reason that the flight got delayed is they were having a door issue, and they had to transfer us over to a different flight. So for Alaska Airlines to have a door issue, I'm more than happy to switch planes and have a two-hour delay getting out of Anchorage.
Yeah, sure beats falling out of the plane in midair.
Yes, exactly.
Apparently that happens. So you want to go ahead and introduce our guest for this evening. You guys know each other a little bit better. I just got the opportunity, the privilege to meet her. You want to go ahead and introduce and let's get into some conversation.
Yeah, before I do, you know, what drew me to this story and why, you know, I thought it was important and a friend also thought it was important for us to connect is that I caught this story in Anchorage through a video that a guy I follow, Bob Lester, had posted a video of him and some others welcoming this student back to school. And then I started doing some research. And what was amazing is that the courage that she had to come back to school and the courage that I found in videos of this guest we have tonight, the mother, Natasha Guthrie, had the courage to go before not only the school, but the school board, and to address this issue, safety issue, not only for her daughter, but for other children in our community. And before we get started into all that, I'd like to introduce Natasha Guthrie. Welcome to our show. I'm glad you're here.
Hi, guys. It's so nice to be here. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I don't think I could have introduced without doing the Guthrie. The Berg Guthrie.
Guthrie.
Yeah, you got to have that Scottish accent to throw in the, you know, the little Scottish language into, you know, pronouncing the name.
Oh, yeah. Especially Guthrie.
Guthrie.
Well,
there
thank
had
you,
to
guys.
Be a... There had to be a McGuthrie back in the day, I'm sure.
Or it was a MacGuthrie. M-A-C.
MacGuthrie.
Yes.
Don't forget about Woody.
Oh, no.
Yes. So, Natasha, would you, run us through your experience, what brought you into the spotlight a little bit because of the video that you saw, that everyone saw of what happened at your daughter's school, run us up into your story there.
Okay, so I transferred my daughter to Clark Middle School in Anchorage, Alaska, back in January. I was involved in a car accident where my sister and I were T-boned early in the morning, and I suffered a concussion and lots of speech impediments and a lot of issues from that accident. And I was out of work for about 2 months because of it. We live closer to Clark Middle School, and where Peyton went to school was Hanshu, which is across town, and we were transferring her back and forth. But because, you know, we were down a vehicle and I literally couldn't drive, we needed to transfer her to a lot closer, you know, to us. And, you know, it was on the way to my fiance's job, so it was easy for him to, you know, drop her off, and then he would, you know, go on lunch and pick her up, and it just was easier until I could drive again. The bullying at Clark started within 2 weeks of her being there. She was immediately targeted. She was different. She was considered a minority, and you know, she's Caucasian, and the percentage wise over at Clark is 92%, I believe, Polynesian or South Pacific Islanders. So she was the, I'm trying to think of the word, if you guys could help me. oh my goodness. She was just different. She was from a different school, you know, new. And I don't know what started it. Actually, no, I do. She asked a person who was staring at her in a really weird way. She had an issue. And from that point on, she became a target, you know, because I would ask somebody, if you're sitting there staring at me or taking photos of me, what's going on? Why, like, why do you have an issue with me? Or, you know, what, why are you taking photos of me? You know, it's just a, you know, a normal thing for people to ask. And from there, it just started nonstop. And then the first incident that happened with her, she was smacked in the back of the head by a specific girl. And she texted my sister and told her about the problem. So I immediately called the school. I had already let the school know prior to this issue, I think 3 or 4 times before she actually was smacked in the back of the head. And then while I was, I immediately rushed over to the school, and I was sitting there at the school. And so the first, I'm sorry, I'm going to backtrack a little bit. I'm getting ahead of myself, guys. January 25th is when I first made it public and known to the school that there were bullying and harassment issues going on. The teacher that I spoke to told me that he was going to speak to the other or the rest of the team and let them know that, you know, Peyton was being bullied. And she was also being threatened that she was going to get jumped by 10 Samoan girls. And these were specifically her words. And I advised her at that point in time to, you know, tell a teacher what's going on, make this known. And, you know, and she told me, Mom, if I tell anybody, it's going to make it worse. I'm going to be labeled as a snitch. And, you know, the bullying and the harassment is going to get worse and worse and worse. And she was 100% right on that. It's very, very just, oh gosh, just emotional. You know, about, I'm emotional about that. But I still encourage her to seek help. This went on, it continued after that. So January 31st, I talked to another teacher, and I specifically told him that, you know, she was having behavior issues in class. And I said, honestly, it's because of this bullying. And he was like, oh, I didn't know about any of this bullying, after I had already made it known to one of her other teachers. So, and this was from January 25th to January 31st. So within a week. And I was like, I advised him of a lot of, you know, contributing factors as to why she was, you know, having the behavior in class. Sorry, I'm reading through my notes really quick. Girls were taking pictures of her at that point in time in class and in the hallways. They were, you know, following her and making fun of her, calling her an albino, calling her white girl, you know, pretty much singling her out just because of her race at that point. And, you know, and race is a huge subject, you know, in American history, let alone, and I've never been one to be racist. You know, I've never taught that. I never even knew what it was. Her godfather is African-American. You know, we have family that are South Pacific Islanders. I have mixed race nephews. Like it's none of that is a problem to us. And we've never seen it. You know, we all bleed the same color. Mm-hmm. And that's how I feel about that. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but that's exactly how I feel. And, you know, it doesn't matter the color of your skin, but that's how it started, is it specifically started because of her color and her race. And I hate putting things on race, because I hate playing the race card 100% on that. But That's where it was. And that's the reasons that she was being attacked. Every time I would ask her, why are these people bullying you? Have you said anything? Have you, you know, done anything? Have you given them a weird look? And she goes, Mom, they just, I don't know. They called me albino. I asked one girl if she was an issue, if there was an issue, and it's just been nonstop from there. February 2nd, I actually received a call. That's actually when the first assault, where she was smacked in the back of the head was. So January 25th to February 2nd now. She was smacked in the back of the head, and I immediately went over to the school. And while I was sitting there telling the vice principal, Mr. Schneider, that this was happening and that she got smacked in the back of the head, he advised me that she was in the other assistant principal's office writing a statement. Well, I had gotten a text from my daughter as I'm sitting there, and that same girl from earlier in the day smacked her in the face. And I went off. I was immediately upset, and they wouldn't bring my daughter to me. I was asking to have her with me, and they had her, you know, at a different part of the school. And this was now the second assault in the same day. That was when I filed my first police report with the Anchorage Police Department. And they took action, and they went in and they investigated. And the school told me that the first hit on the back of her head was a swipe of her hair, and that the girl said that she accidentally smacked her in the face. How do you, and this is my question, how do you, in a school filled with about 750 students, and that's give or take, you know, maybe 20 or 30, where you accidentally hit the same person in the face or in the back of the head on the same day?
Yeah.
No, there's no coincidence there.
Exactly. And that's exactly what they told me. They told me that, oh, she accidentally, it was an accident. She was pushed, or, you know, no, there is no accident about that. They refused to let me see the videos. They said that it was a federal law that they couldn't show me videos because other minors were involved. I found out that there's a thing called FERPA, where you can actually request for any kind of documents or videos that relate to your child in regards to, you know, disciplinary actions or investigation actions, or, you know, them being removed from the school for specific reasons. And the school district up here is telling me that they literally can't do it because there's minors involved. Now, we're looking more into it to find out exactly, you know, what those are, things are saying. But the fact of the matter is, you can record or request a records report from the school district, and it has all of those documents, including videos for investigation, and you are legally allowed to have those. But I've been told, excuse me, but I've been told, along with other parents, that, you know, when their kid is assaulted, we're not allowed to see it because there's minors involved.
Yeah, that's not true. The truth is that you can't take those videos and publicize them for the world to see, without, you know, blanking out their face or something like that. But sorry, Steve, go ahead, brother.
No, I was going to say that, you know, leading up to this point, though, before you found out all this information, you were flying in blind. You had no idea, other than what your daughter's telling you, to corroborate what she's been telling you.
Exactly. And that's why I wanted to see the videos for myself. Because I wanted to verify that what the school was telling me, because I don't believe a word that they say to me, because I have been, you know, thrown off and pushed away and kind of shoved to the side like I didn't matter when it came to my daughter's safety. And so I don't believe a single word that they tell me at this point. You know what I mean? Because they've lost that complete and 100% trust that I had. And, you know, our children are supposed to go to these schools where they're safe. And, you know, they've explained that to us for decades, that school is supposed to be a safe learning environment where you can go and you can learn, you can, you know, build your education, where, you know, you don't have to worry about all this stuff. But the problem is, you know, it's getting worse and worse and worse. And what are we going to do? Well, how do we change that? And that's one of the biggest questions that I have.
So sorry, I'm reading my notes. So after this happened and you were both in separate areas of the school, you know, trying to get answers, her making a statement and all that. When did you guys finally be able to come back together in that time frame?
So I was texting my daughter while she was sitting in the other vice principal's office, and she was telling me that they weren't allowing her to leave to come to me. And I texted her back and I said, "You tell them that I said you come down to me within 30 seconds or I'm going to come find you." And immediately they brought her to me. So it was one of those, you know, I'm telling you, no, you're not going to keep my daughter away from me. I'm here in the school. She was assaulted. She was hit in the face. You're going to bring her to me. You're not going to keep her from me. You know what I mean? So they immediately, and once I said, no, you tell them, this is what I said. And that's what she did. And they listened to her and they brought her to me immediately. But I was also going off in the office at the same time. So, you know, well, telling everyone to bring my daughter to me.
I know in public that the police officers cannot question your daughter without a parent present. So why is it okay for the school to do that?
So I need to really look into that, because from what I remember is if you are a suspect, then they can't question you separately. But if you're a victim, they can. It's completely different. But I definitely want to look into that and research that a little bit. You know, minor situation compared to what we're going to get to.
Right. So let's get to there.
Yeah, we're getting there. After the second hit, my daughter actually did chase the girl. She went after her and was like, "Why did you hit me in my face? Like, why did you just hit me?" And that's when she was pulled into the other vice principal's office, because she was actually standing up for herself. At that point in time, I told him that I was getting a lawyer involved and law enforcement involved, because I was already, you know, this had been going on since January 25th. This is February 2nd. So I also told him to make it clear to the other child's parent as well that if the behavior didn't stop, I was going to be taking legal action. The officer that I spoke to went and actually talked to the mother and the child that originally first hit her. And, you know, he was able to kind of resolve it from there. She left her alone. She asked me February 6th or 5th to and 6th to stay home for a mental health day, because she didn't want to go to school. You know, she didn't want to go there and feel harassed and bullied and, you know, all of that. So I was like, you know what? Fine. Yep. Let's stay home. And, you know, she stayed home. She, you know, slept and, you know, did whatever she, you know, did throughout the day. But I let her do that.
You know, you said something earlier. It's uncomfortable to talk about race. And the problem these days is it's less about race and more just about indoctrination. I mean, we are getting along, you know, no matter what color or culture we were, for years and years and years. About 2009, the division started. And now the schools are teaching, you know, one group of people to be ashamed of who they are, the other ones to be empowered. And they've created this racism that had pretty much disappeared. And it's sad to see that, because our schools are one of the biggest problems, you know, why we're dealing with this mess right now.
No, absolutely. And, you know, diversity was our biggest strength for the longest mm-hmm. time. You know, that was something mm-hmm. that we were very prideful on, especially here in Alaska. And I don't know where the shift happened. You know, it's just been absolutely crazy. And it's not just Clark Middle School. You know, there's a whole bunch of other parents that have reached out all over the state right now. And the lower 48 that are dealing with the same exact issues that I am. So this is becoming a massive pandemic, and we need to make change now.
Yep.
So I don't know. I want to go back into the second assault that happened with Peyton. So that was, you know, the first one was February 2nd. Oh, I'm going to touch base on this really quick. February 13th, I received a video of the same girl that originally hit my daughter in the face, who had been continuously threatening and harassing and, you know, physically laying hands on her. But I got a video, and I actually think I sent it to you, Stephen, of this girl that was attacking an African-American girl. And she was ripping out her hair and, you know, beating her in the face. And this was on school property, mind you. And then a bunch of other girls jumped in and started, it was just a full on assault on this one specific girl. And, you know, she was screaming for help. She was screaming for anybody. And, you know, that one went on for about a minute, and it was just absolutely crazy. And I actually reported that to the police, and, you know, they took action and actually charged the girl that hit my daughter in the face, but for a completely different situation. So the violence is just absolutely crazy. Let's see. March. Give me a second. I need to look at a date real quick. I apologize, guys.
Oh, not a problem.
It was 5 days before. Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
It was 5 days before my daughter's final assault.
Okay.
So March 20th, actually, is when she was involved in a fight where she was suspended. I was told that she instigated it. She was, you know, the biggest part of it. And, you know, she got suspended. And I was like, okay, I wanted to see the videos, but I wasn't allowed to see the videos. I ended up receiving videos online, actually, of the fight. And it went on for about a minute. And a whole bunch of students, you know, colluded together in the hallway. And this was during passing, apparently. And this girl came up to her and stopped her in the hallway and pretty much confronted her. And Peyton, you can see, you know, Peyton did put her stuff down, but she kind of stood there and didn't. She was telling the other student that she didn't want to fight her. And another student came up behind her and shoved Peyton so hard that her head snapped back, and she was shoved into the student that was being the aggressor. She backed up 3 to 4 steps and put her hands up in a defensive motion. And you could literally see, you know, I don't want to do this. And the girl jumped on top of her and started beating her and grabbed her by her hair. Peyton started fighting back and, you know, trying to protect herself, because what else do you do? And it was literally a one-on-one situation. One of the vice principals went in, you know, within 40 to 50 seconds into the fight and tried to break it up, but couldn't even put her coffee mug down to stop this fight. Oh yeah. And there was hair flying everywhere. One of the girls' shirts was actually ripped off, like ripped completely. It was bad. And these are 13, 14 year old kids on top of all of it. You know, and I tried to report it, actually, to APD. They refused to allow me to report it because Peyton had a bigger hand in it than what she was telling me. And I was like, what do you mean? And they said, well, they had an argument with the girl, or she had an argument with the girl earlier in the day. So it's okay to get into a fight and attack somebody because you had an argument earlier. How is that okay?
It's not. No. Not at all.
It's not.
You know, and it's sad too, is that we live in a world right now where the aggressors tend to not get any consequences. The ones who are standing up for themselves are the ones that end up getting the consequences or getting in trouble, which is why people are afraid to intervene and stop this stuff. And most everybody pulls out their phones and films it now.
Exactly. And if you watch the video, and I know you guys are going to post it when we get to, we're about to get to the actual main catalyst of, you know, what caused this this motion and this our cause to go forward. And it's heartbreaking. It really is. And I'm already getting emotional because I know it's coming. So my daughter was suspended. I'm just going to go ahead and go into it because it's about to come. My daughter was suspended for 5 days. She returned March 26th. Her day went okay for the most part. You know, I was touching base with her. I was, you know, we were texting back and forth, making sure, you know, she was okay. She was texting her aunt and, you know, her dad, and, you know, everything seemed all right. And I was sitting in the pickup line, in the parking lot. I was one of the first parents there, and I'm, you know, just chilling, listening to music and just waiting for her to come out. And, all of a sudden I see three little girls running from the school. And I was like, and my first thought was, they're either running to a fight or they're running from one, right? Because the way that they were, like, they were yelling, come on, come on, come on, let's go, 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 go. You know, like, we need to get out of here type, you know, that's what they were saying. And then 30 seconds later, my daughter calls me, screaming in the phone, and told me that a bunch of girls had just jumped her. And she needed me. And she said, Mom, I need you now. Come in here now. I put my truck in park. I locked my door and I ran inside. And I started yelling at everybody because I had warned them at least 13 times about the bullying and harassment that she had been enduring. This was 2 months. And nobody could say a word to me. They rushed me into the nurse's office, where the nurse had just went to lunch at 2:30. She wasn't even there. A janitor was watching over her when I came inside. Nobody was actually like checking her to make sure she was okay. Nobody had called the cops. No one had called for an ambulance. Nobody did anything. I was the one who had to call the cops. I was the one who had to take her to the hospital. I received videos that day where these children were allowed to be released from their classrooms to go across the school, break into the gym where a teacher tried to stop them. To proceed to go across the gym and attack my daughter for almost a minute before anyone intervened.
I can't imagine from a mother's perspective, because you feel so hopeless because you can't be around the children all the time. And, you know, we expect our education system to be a little bit better to at least watch this kind of stuff, especially after you warn them.
Is Peyton able to bring you a tissue? I know she's there with you. Natasha.
Hey, Peyton. Sorry, guys.
Oh, no, please, no.
No, we want to allow you the time to feel the moment and describe it the best as you can, because the impact of it's going to maybe save some other kids' lives.
I know, and that's why. Oh, I'm so sorry. My fiance
That's
just
okay.
Got
That's okay. Do you want us to take a moment here so we can show the video? Is this a good spot for that?
this would be a perfect time. I'm going to go ahead and go on mute and collect myself. But that's a great time.
Thank you. So I'm going to be right back to you.
So I'm going to set the video up. So I've got multiple videos here. I've got three that I'm going to play back to back. One's 8 seconds. One's 25 seconds. I'm going to let run through because it's already halfway through. And then one's 42 seconds. So I'm going to run through and play all of these videos just to give you guys an idea as to what all went down. So here we go. Those of you that are on Podbean or on Rumble, you guys will be able to see that. I've got one more video that I'm going to play real quick. So let me get that one set up for you real quick, and then I'll move over. Here we go. So I can't imagine, honestly, what it was like for you to have to see that. And for those of you that are on Podbean, when this is done published, definitely go watch this video. It's sad. It's hard for me to watch, and this isn't even my child. But the one thing that I want to point out is that notice that no one was jumping in to help. The good kids that are out there that would have normally jumped in to do something to help, these people are afraid to do anything any longer. The rest of these kids just pull out their phone. And I know there's a couple of men there that just want to make sure that they get this, you know, at least on tape so that the cops can see or authorities can see. But like, I guess 90% of those people are just waiting to put this up on TikTok. And in my opinion, they're just as big as the bullies as the one who are actually doing the fighting, because we live in a messed up world right now. We live in a world to where we shouldn't be afraid to stand up for someone that is helpless at the moment or in general. But everything in our government, our schools, and so forth, they're trying to make those that stand up to the bullies the ones that actually are held accountable for the crimes. And the bullies themselves get away with it. They don't see consequences, which is why they do this over and over again. And in a proper school, they would have been scolded. They would have been told, listen, if you do this again, you're about to be expelled from school. But they don't even do that. I'm sorry. I just, that was hard to watch. And I can't imagine how that was for you to have to hear.
Honestly, I have 7 different videos of the same assault. It's 7 different views. It shows different faces. It shows different hits. At first, I thought it was only 3 students that were attacking her, but it comes out to be 6 total that had either struck her or kicked her. And she, and within, you know, 41 seconds, she had been hit over 41 times. As of right now, 2 of the students have received charges and are seeing court or are at court. One of them is, they have not been able to find her. She is either on the run or the parents are hiding her. They are not responding to any phone calls. She's not going to school. You know, so there's a huge problem in that situation. And another thing I want to hit on is the ages of these girls that attacked my daughter. My daughter is 14. Okay. Peyton. One of the attackers was 12. One of them was 13. And the other one was 14. And I don't know the ages of the other ones because we haven't been able to identify them. And the school hasn't been able to identify them or law enforcement. And it's very hard for us. Sorry, guys.
No, I'm beside myself. You know, just real quick, I want to read you some of the things that people are putting here in chat. People are, an example must be set. These people, all these adults need to be arrested. All of these teachers, principal, need to get the boot. They need to be fired, but we don't live in a just world like that any longer. Sisu says, it's out of control. I homeschooled my kids because even back in 2010, bullying was going on public schools and it was reintroduced. We're all basically right around the same age. We grew up in a time to where we weren't wusses. We would pick on each other. No one would get butthurt about it. And there was, even the fights that we had were fair. You know what I'm saying? It would be one-on-one. And then the moment that it got out of control, someone was jumping in and going, okay, fight's over. And then chances are the two people that fought were better friends after the fight.
Exactly. It was always one-on-one, and it was either never at school. You met at the bus station, you know, at the bus stop or at a park or some, you know, somewhere, and you fought your issues out. And then, like you said, you became better friends. That's actually how one of my best friends and I became, you know, 20 years now, and we had our issues. We fought it out, and here we are 20 years later. It doesn't need to get to the extent that it has. I do want to point out that while my daughter was, or right before, in the gym, there were four teachers present in the gym. One of them supposedly tried to stop this mass group of children from coming into the gym, and they failed, and they were allowed to go across the gym and attack my daughter. It took almost a minute for somebody to intervene. And that's a big thing, you know.
Yeah.
If there are four adults present, you already, and you know, this is a big thing too. I was told that at that school, that specific school, that this is day-to-day problems for them. So you already know the warning signs. You already know what's going to happen. These kids are already videotaping. They've already, you know, come together in a massive group. Why did you not call for help? First of all, if you know that you can't stop them, you need help, obviously. Why did you allow it to go on? And then even when you stopped it, kids were still behind him hitting her. Like, he didn't even stop it. He just got in the way of the other ones, and they were still hitting her. And then other kids were going behind him and taking photos of her and videos of her and posting that stuff on social media. You know, so why is that okay? How is that okay? How is that?
None of it's okay at all. And I can't imagine being in that situation to where you feel left without any recourse other than to you to step in and call the police, you to step in and call you know, an ambulance or whatever, however you got your daughter to the doctors. It was up to you. The school didn't do anything. I can't imagine what you were going through.
Exactly. And, you know, I had requested and requested and requested meetings over 13 times, you know, before the assault even happened. And I finally got a meeting, and the principal actually, you know, tried to cancel it that day. And I straight up said, no, I have been requesting this. I'm coming in at 2:00 and she will be there. And I told the counselor this when he called me. And you know what? She was there. And we tried to come up with some, you know, safety precautions for, you know, just specifically Peyton. But my first question was, what about the other students that are being harassed or bullied, you know, or assaulted in this manner? And they were like, well, you know, we're focusing on Peyton. You need to focus on your daughter. And I'm like, I understand. I am focusing on my daughter, but it's not just my daughter that's being assaulted. You know, after my daughter was assaulted, I actually found online that the kids there at Clark were actually stalking this other little girl. And when I found it, they had been planning to jump her for 4 days, and it was going to happen the next week. And they were taking pictures of her in the hallway. They were stalking her. They were posting her Discord. They were, you know, her TikTok and all of this stuff. And I got it over to APD immediately, and they were able to stop that jumping from happening. So my biggest thing is, you know, these parents, they need to step forward and they need to come out. If you are seeing this, or, you know, your child is harassing or bullying somebody, check their phones. Find out what they're doing, because if you don't have control over it now, it's going to get worse in the future. You know?
You know,
do you think this would be a good opportunity to allow Peyton to come on and talk about this?
I absolutely believe that that would be a great time. Give me a moment.
All right. So I tell you, man, this, it's so heartbreaking. This is absolutely heartbreaking. You know, because I'm reading over here, and I don't know if this is the same case or not, but Tears of Valhalla over on Rumble says Principal One, Principal of the Year. You know, what is going on in this world right now? And then it's premeditated. Like she said, you know, they have been planning on doing this for a while before it actually happened. And
exactly. Right after I went public and went to the school board and told them everything that was going on, that same principal who had been ignoring my pleas got this award, and the anger and the frustration that came from me, you guys, I wanted to do anything and everything that I could to make the change for all of these children.
It's insane though, is it how hateful, you know, the world has become so absolutely violent. Kids are absolutely desensitized. They don't understand what's going on. And I'm not tearing down or removing the anguish that came with this, but your daughter ended up, I mean, okay, compared to some instances where these kids lose their lives because of this, and it could have gone completely different. You know what I'm saying? Like, it could have gone completely different, because 10 minutes
exactly.
is a long
time. There's actually, you know, another little girl who I have recently, well, Peyton and I have recently met. Her name is Ella, and she was assaulted at Service High School in Anchorage, Alaska last year. And she was actually knocked out and curb stomped and almost lost her life. Mm-hmm. And this never went public. And she's been fighting and arguing, you know, or fighting, you know, for justice for her daughter. And, you know, everything that's going on with that. And they're just now getting justice. But the problem is they have the same issues with the school that I did. And it was complete negligence, straight up negligence. And then, you know, there's another little girl who's just learning how to walk down in the lower 48 right now. You know, she was attacked by a group of African-American girls, and she was beat almost to death. And she's just now learning to walk, you know. And then there was another little girl who was just beat with a Stanley Cup by I can't even think of the name, but by another student that was born male and is now identifying as a female. And she was beat, and these children were sat there or had to sit there for a half an hour and watch them clean up her blood. And also you watch them pull her out while blood was pouring out of her head. And these kids had to sit there and watch it. You know, this is becoming a massive problem.
Now it is, you know, a couple people in here say video games are a big thing. Is you play these violent things all the time. You know, rated R movies back in the day, you had to be a certain age to watch them. Now kids can watch them at any age. So they're watching violence and horror at an extent that we didn't have when we were younger.
Just in the gaming world, the violence in the gaming world that kids are being exposed to is at such an early age is crazy. Because when I was growing up, you know, we had the video games and they were basically around sports. You know, I'm old enough to remember Pong. You know, I had first introduction. We didn't have these fighting games and, you know, the violence that we saw.
The violence of a ball bouncing off of a paddle, man. It's about as it got.
Right. And the TV these days, too, is introducing kids at such an early age to violence.
You know, okay, so Wade Remington down here says, you know, but we still knew better, though. We absolutely did know better. My dad right. spanked me a couple of times with the belt, and then eventually all he had to do was act like he was pulling that belt off, and I'm like, I'm good, Dad, because I understood consequence. You know, I still made mistakes. I was still a little ruffian, but I understood what consequences were.
Yes.
Hey guys, I have Peyton here.
Hi, Peyton. How are you doing?
Hi, Peyton.
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Great. I'm thankful for you coming on here tonight. I know this has got to be hard, but you are extremely brave, and this right here is what's going to end up changing the world, is letting, you know, giving people like you a voice. So say whatever you feel like you want to say.
I think with her, if you ask some specific questions, she might be able to answer better.
I have a question. You know, Peyton, so we're getting feedback real quick on, there must be a volume up somewhere. Natasha?
Yeah.
Can you turn down the volume somehow?
Let me, hold on. I'm going to, give me a second.
Do you have speaker on that's playing in the background?
Yeah, give me a second. We have to put the hands on, honey.
Okay.
I'm not going to be able to hear you guys, so it's going to be just you and Peyton, okay?
Okay, absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
So, Peyton, can you give us a little bit of a rundown on how all this led up to where this happened in the video that went viral, how you were feeling up leading up to that?
When it first, like, when they first came up to me, because I had just, before they came up to me, I had just went up to somebody who was calling my friend really horrible names, and I was asking her why she was talking about my friend like that. And I told everybody I was not going to fight her because I had just gotten back from suspension from fighting another girl. And I went up to her and I was just like, you cannot be saying that stuff about my friend. She didn't do anything to you. And after lunch, I was walking out of lunch, and one of the girls came up to me and was like, hey, and are you going to fight her? And she like kept repeating it. And I kept telling her, no, I'm not going to fight her. And she left me alone for about two periods. And I was walking to my sixth period, and she came up to me with a couple of her friends. And she was asking me again if I was going to fight the girl, and I told her no. And out of just randomly, she was like, so are you talking about my cousin? And I was like, I don't know who your cousin is. And she said her name, and I was like, I've never talked about her in a bad way. I've only ever called her pretty. And I was kind of like confused on why she just changed the subject that quickly. So I was trying to hurry up to get to class because I was already late. And I was in class and I was telling my friends about what just happened. And they were all acting really weird about it. And one of the girl's friends, I think was her friend, I'm not sure what her name is. She said that she would talk to her and tell her that I wasn't talking about her or her cousin. And after that class, I went downstairs to like where the office and the lunchroom was. And I was standing there talking to my friends, and she came up to me with the girl who I asked, well, who asked me if she wanted me to, if she wanted her to say that I wasn't talking bad about either one of them. And she came up to me and was like, "Why are you still talking bad about me?" And I turned to the person who said that she would talk to her. And I was like, I didn't say anything, but I kind of looked at her and then looked back. And she said that she didn't say that, which really confused me. So I had just ended up walking away, and I started walking to my class, and I saw a whole bunch of girls standing over by the bathrooms, and I saw two of them start walking over to me. But then I got down to the stairs, and they walked back. So I just walked to class, and I sat down, and we ended up going outside for to walk the track outside, and there were kids throwing snowballs, and I knew that there were some girls in that class who were friends with them. And me and my friend were walking in front of them, like maybe about 20 feet away from them. And they threw a snowball, a couple snowballs, trying to aim at me. And they hit me with one of them on my arm, and it turned red. And I didn't look back or anything. I just left it alone. And then we walked inside, and we were having an open gym type thing. And around the end of class, when we were getting ready to leave, I saw a whole bunch of people coming in through the doors. And out of the corner of my eye, I see two of my friends come out of the crowd and tried warning me about what was about to happen. So I turned around and I walked quickly over to my stuff so I could get my stuff and leave. And she started running towards me, and I turned around and I said I wasn't talking about them in any sort of way. And she grabbed my hair, and then I realized I was getting hit by multiple hands.
Wow. Have you been able to come to grips of what you were going through during that, or can you recall, or is there a blank what happened during all that?
While it was happening, I was screaming for help because they were hitting me in sensitive spots and ripping my hair out. And
I can't imagine, you know, because things do happen real fast. And, you know, you seem like a pretty sweet and tough girl, that if it was something that was one-on-one, it would have been completely different. But in this video, you know, everyone's crowded around. They've got their cameras out. I can't imagine what you went through and what so many people like you are going through. And, you know, you're so blessed to have a mother bear that's, you know, fighting for you. That's one thing that, you know, when I was younger, I just didn't appreciate what I had until I grew up. And then I really learned to appreciate all that my family did. And your mother has really stood up and she's trying to make a big difference right here. Not just for you, but for the many people like yourself that are going through this, not just in Alaska, but all over our country right now, all over the world, really.
Yeah. Do you, you know, the moment that you were able to break free of this, how long was it that you had to gather yourself, get to your phone, and get your mom on the phone?
I actually could not find my phone after everybody had left. I was screaming at them, at the teachers, and like crying. And they ended up finding my phone, which was across the gym. It wasn't broken or anything, but I had grabbed my phone, and a couple of my friends were there making sure I was okay. I ended up leaving the gym and walking to the office, and some people were laughing and calling me names. And then I sat down and called my mom because I didn't know what else to do.
Did it at any time during this, did any of the adults in the room offer any assistance other than helping you get to the nurse's station to sit in there alone?
When they all came into the gym, there was a teacher trying to stop them. And at first I thought it was just people for track coming in early, but it seemed a little suspicious to me, and I realized that they looked mad. But the teachers, like, they all came up to me and they were asking if I was okay and what happened, and I had no idea what just happened, so I was saying, I don't know. And they just kept repeatedly asking me the same questions over and over again. And none of them were looking like to see if I was okay. And the janitor ended up bringing me to the office. And he was just standing there waiting for my mom to get there. One of the teachers was over by the doors where they came in. I think it might have been one or two. And all of the eighth grader boys just came out of sex ed class. And I'm pretty sure there was at least one or two teachers over by that door, which was right where, like, right next to where it happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand how it took 40 seconds for somebody to get there.
Yeah, I think one of the big problems that we're seeing right now as well is that teachers' hands are tied, because the moment that a teacher gets involved trying to help somebody else, they end up either losing their job or going to jail too. And I'm not saying that's the case here. Any adult with any integrity should be stepping in and doing what they can to protect the children of that school. And I'm horrified that you had to go through this. Now you're not, you are no longer attending that school, correct?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I'm not.
Good.
Was it, can you describe that just real quick, before we get back to your mom, can you describe the moment when you asked your mom, how you were feeling when you asked your mom for a couple mental health days? What was going through your mind?
My friends were telling me that people were saying that I was going to get jumped again if I came back. So that's what I was most worried about. And I was thinking that I don't want that to happen again. I don't want to go back to that school and that I don't feel safe there. And
you seem like the type of kid that would have been there to help protect another kid that one of your friends that may have been being threatened. Do you feel like your friends were they were warning you, but do you feel like they were there to help protect you when things went down? Or were they just as scared as anyone else?
I don't think they would have helped me. They didn't help me.
Man.
Were they scared?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
My friend felt sick watching it.
Yeah.
I don't know where I know my other friends were in the gym, but I don't know where they were.
If you were to offer anyone advice that may be going through this, so say there's someone your age or another, you know, within the age group that may be out there struggling, that they're living in fear, is there anything that you would say to them that you wish would have been different for you had you said it or thought it?
Just stand up for yourself and be proud that you have stood up for yourself.
Amen.
Amen.
Wow.
Can I ask you one other thing too before we put your mom back on? Can I ask you what it felt like for, the people that were there for when you came back to school? Bob Lester, Kay Will was there doing a live radio show. What did it feel like for you when you saw the welcoming of people there for you?
I was overwhelmed. But I was glad there were people there for me.
Were you nervous coming back, even to the different school? Was it a different school when you were coming back?
A little bit, yeah.
You were nervous?
Yes.
At the school you're going to now, has there been anything that has made you feel unsafe?
No, because the school that I'm at now is the school that I went to before Clark. I know almost everybody at that school, and everybody made me feel welcomed when I came back. And I do have some people there who don't like me, but they'd never go as far as doing that to me.
Yeah, I mean, there's people that we just don't get along with, but we don't feel the need to go and be violent against people. And like I said, this had nothing to do with anything that you did. This was literally, to me, it just sounds like some people that just wanted to fight and they were coming up with any excuse that they possibly could. I'm going to say right here, I think this is some great advice right here. If this Wade Remington in our chat right now says, don't ever back down from the voice of truth. And, you know, you're being remarkable, being brave, being fearless and talking about this right now. Cause like I said, this is going to help other people, other parents know what to watch out for. But you know, it's one thing is that you should always be who you are, do exactly what you're doing, stand up for the truth and protect others. And sadly, you know, it's instances like this, where we learn who our true friends are and who our true friends aren't. And I'm horrified that your friends at that school didn't stand up for you. Like, I know, certainly I know you would have done for them.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think you're the type of person, Peyton, that I would have loved to have as a friend growing up.
Yeah.
That would have my back just as much as I would have yours.
Thank you.
Do you have any parting thoughts? I thank you so much for your courage. Oh, yeah. One, you're not one to look for the limelight. You're not on here to, you know, make yourself look good in this situation. I know that you've had some things you've had to overcome in life that are similar. So I thank you for your time and your courage. And you seem like you're the one that had the voice of reason throughout this whole situation.
Yeah. And God bless you. We got a lot of people in here praying for you. And we got half of our chat right now is ready to come over there and beat those people up for you.
A bunch of
mama and papa bears right here in the chat. And, yeah. You know, everyone's just remarking on just, you're a really intelligent girl as well. You know, you're very well spoken. I'm just grateful that you both came on today. And like I said, if there's anything that we can do, we're going to continue pushing this out. Just so people like yourself at other situations and other schools, you know, parents have a better understanding of what they need to watch out for and, you know, and taking care of our schools and making sure that we vote the right people in so this doesn't happen. Cause this is just ridiculous. And I'm sorry that you had to go through this.
Thank you. Thank you, Peyton. Can you hand the headphones back over to your mom?
Yes.
Thank you so
much. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Wow. Man, I tell you, man, this is she's brave, man.
Go ahead, Duncan.
No, she's brave. For coming on here, but a lot of people would have gotten, you know, PTSD from something like this. I would honestly, man, I would have thought twice about going back to any school, you know, assuming that it was something similar was going to happen there. So, you know, she seems to be pretty brave and on top of it, man. And you know, like I said, she would have certainly have been one that would have protected somebody else that was in that same situation. No question.
Sorry, guys. She got really emotional.
Oh, no. We're so thankful that she came on and talked to us.
No, absolutely.
So tell us the feeling you had watching your daughter just now. What was going through your mind?
Honestly, it was emotional. This is honestly the first time that she's really honestly come public with how she's feeling and what she went through. And even to me, and it's very emotional for me. And I know for her dad who, you know, has been through all of this and he is here. And if you guys would like to speak to him too,
sure.
He would definitely like to talk to you guys for a moment.
Yeah, let's get a man point of view in on this that has
absolutely
this. Yes.
So I'm gonna hop off here because I am emotional and I after seeing her, I need to take a moment. So I'm gonna put him on here because he's a little bit better sometimes.
okay.
But this is Kenny. This is Kenny, her dad. Sorry. and I'll go ahead and get a switch headphones. Give me a moment.
Okay, no problem. You know, Duncan, seeing that, does it bring back any memories for you from growing up? Especially you came over to our country, you know, with the accent.
Well, you know, kids will pick on anybody for anything. But at that point, like I said, it was, you know, we'd roughhouse and everything would be good afterwards. We came from a different time. You know what I'm saying? Where there was still respect.
Came from a time where we could wander the streets as children and not be worried about things.
Wander? My mom wouldn't let me come in until like the lights were all on.
Yeah. It said, you're not supposed to come in until the street lights come out. We're out biking around the neighborhood and biking around our town. I mean, I grew up in Ohio. It was a whole different ballgame.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. So we were sent out into the middle of the streets to play. You know,
yeah, exactly.
Kids these days seem a little protective from playing in the street. But you know, give us a rundown as from a male point of view, as a father, seeing all this go down and boy, I know for me, when I've seen things like this go down in, you know, in my wife's life and our son and all that, boy, the rage that I would feel inside, but your hands are tied. You know, describe some of the emotions you were going through and the restraint you had to hold.
I mean, it's hard because a lot of the times when I was finding out about these things, I'm at work. I mean, I work 9 to 5 basically. And so I'm at work. I hear about these things and I'm absolutely furious and I can't do anything but just focus on work and put my head down and try and stay busy just to try and get through until I can get off work, come home and try and figure out what the heck is going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of mind blown here because, like we just discussed, things were so different back in our day. And now,
you know, so much different.
So you're having to relearn everything that your parents taught you. There's no consequences any longer for the children. Like I said, my father spanked me. He didn't ever beat me, but he didn't have to spank me more than a couple of times.
My dad beat the tar out of me, but I deserved it.
No, that's what I'm saying. I look at it now and I'm like, I deserved every time the belt hit my butt.
It wasn't abuse. I was a turd. I mean, I know that.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up in an age when we had paddles in the school and my butt got burned a couple times.
I've had some paddles broken on my rear, the Board of Education.
Man, I think we should bring back corporal punishment.
I agree. We wouldn't be having any issues. And another issue that I'd love to get your thoughts on. So we were talking earlier that today, the ones who are the aggressors have no consequences. The ones who stick up for the ones being bullied are the ones that end up getting punished for it. But the teachers are in the same boat. Many of the teachers are afraid that if they intervene, they're going to lose their job. To me, that doesn't make a difference in the world. But
that's a huge problem. And they're all terrified of that. And that's really, I think, why it went down for as long as it did.
Yeah.
Well, how proud are you of your... How proud are you of your daughter and your wife, your soon to be wife? They're standing up to not only the school but to the school board.
I mean, I'm so proud of them. I'm proud of my daughter for protecting herself the way she did and not letting it be as bad as it really could be. I'm proud of my fiance for fighting this as hard as she possibly can. I mean, there's been a lot of things that have come up because we're fighting this. I mean, she actually lost her job, I think, partially because of all of this. But I'm so proud of her, of what she's doing, what she's standing up for, and what she's doing for the community. And for all of the other students that are being bullied, that are being assaulted like this.
And it's everywhere around this country, around the world. And this is how we change the game right here. We used to rely on the way we voted. That doesn't necessarily work any longer because a lot of the elections are scams. They're cheated. You end up, people are so focused on the federal, they're not focused on the local. It should be sheriff and school should be the main thing that we're focused on. President of our country falls down the road.
And this has been a big eye opener for all of this is, actually realizing that the people that we elect for our local government, for state board and for other things like that, really matters more than we think it does. Yes. I mean, you don't think about it until you have a kid in the school district and we're having these problems and you're realizing that the school board members are absolute trash.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't, we've brought this up to them. We've sat in front of the school board. There's been students, parents, there's been a lot of people that have sat in front of the school board. And what's happened so far? The only thing that they've said was, hey, there might be a problem. We're going to look into the policies and maybe change them. Maybe.
No. With your video that your daughter, it went viral. How did that play into your decision making on how forward to go with this? How to fight for it so that it saves other kids in the community?
Well, the hardest part on that is, I mean, as a parent, as a father, I mean, the first thing you want to do is, you want to beat the tar out of somebody. I want to go beat the tar out of somebody. I want to go find the parents' kids because, I mean, to be honest, they're probably responsible for a big portion of this. I want to go do that, but we have to do this all the proper way. And that's, I think Tasha's picked up a lot of that. She's trying to do it the right way, trying to hold me back because it's just not okay.
No.
Mm-hmm.
You're way calmer than I think that I would be in your situation.
I kind of have to be in this particular situation because, to be honest, everything is so heightened between everybody and everything, I have to be the calm one to try and kind of keep the family together, to keep everybody going crazy, per se.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been trying to stay as calm as I possibly can about this, and just try and be the level head, trying to be the support that I can be.
Yeah. I mean, because this is just one of the many examples of our world, our country, going in the wrong direction. And the kids are being indoctrinated. They have no respect for the elders any longer. I mean, it's not even a gradual difference between, you know, one generation to the other. It's a huge, huge jump.
So that one, there's an interesting saying that I'm a firm believer in. Hard times create hard men. Hard men create soft times. Soft times create soft men, and soft men create hard times. It's a vicious cycle. And right now we're stuck in a point where we've had hard men for a long time, and they have made everything so easy in society. They've created these soft times that's creating these soft men.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're getting into that. We're shifting from soft times into hard times.
Mm-hmm.
Very hard times.
And it's hard, but I mean, it's going to play out. I mean, this is going to create hard men. It's just waiting.
You know, so one thing that really drives me nuts about, you know, our politicians is that, you know, it's a great illusion of choice. I certainly tend to lean one political way over the other, but they've created, it's a division, and they're kind of all on the same team. It's still a two-headed coin, you know, heads or tails is still the same quarter. And, you know, so we're trying to fix this politically with people that are fighting against us in this world. It's going to be the people doing podcasts and using social media and stuff that are going to end up making the change, but we need to come together. And right now the world is dividing us in every way possible. And I think the thing that drives me the most is when I hear, for instance, the GOP go, they're just incompetent. And it's like, no, they're not incompetent. This is made to happen. They are indoctrinating the teachers. They're picking the certain teachers, indoctrinating students. This is all on purpose in order to dumb us down, to create division, fighting us.
Well, and the problem is, so have you ever seen the movie Idiocracy?
Yes.
I'm living it.
We are literally living that. We're at a point here in Alaska, they have something called No Child Left Behind. So for elementary and middle school, it doesn't matter if you fail the grade, they push you to the next grade.
Yeah. Wow.
And the problem with that is that ends in the middle school. But in high school, the teachers don't want students failing because it looks bad on them. They want everybody to pass. So what do? They do one of two things. They either dumb down the curriculum so that everybody can pass it, or they pass the students that are having problems so that it doesn't look bad on them.
Yep.
Right.
And so at this point, it's so frustrating as a parent, especially in middle school and stuff like that, because I know she's not doing super great in eighth grade because of all of this. But the fact of the matter is, once this is all said and done, she's going to get pushed into ninth grade. And if she's not academically ready, it's going to make ninth grade that much harder.
You know, and one thing, too, that's it's terrible is that, let's go back to the 50s or the 60s, a little bit before my time. Your father was able to go to work. And your mother can stay home and take the children. She can teach the children at home without, you know, homeschooling. But right now they're making it to where it's near impossible for one parent to support the household. So
you have to have a two-person income in any household nowadays.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Before we get back to Natasha to close this out, because we're running down on minutes here, do you have any thoughts that you would like to share with other men, other fathers out there that may be going through this with their own child being bullied at school?
It's really a hard one because as a father, you're not there in the school. So there's not a whole lot you can do. I mean, the biggest thing, in my opinion, is just trying to be there for them. I mean, when they come home and they've had a rough day and stuff like that, don't focus on, I've been at work for 8 hours. You know, I work at a tire shop right now. I do lift kits and alignments, but we're in tire changeover season. So it is completely slammed all day long. I'm working 9 hours. And to try and come home after working 9 hours and not focus on, hey, I've had a long day, I'm exhausted, but paying attention to your children.
Yeah.
Talking to them, finding out, how was your day? You know, what are you going through? You know, and trying to be, you know, a little bit more involved in their life, per se, and not just assuming that, oh, they're a kid, they've got it easy, they don't have to go to work, they don't have to deal with bills, they don't have to deal with everything that I deal with. No, because they are people too.
Yeah, and you bring up the very valuable point here. You know, people want to automatically go and blame race and whatever else, and it's deeper than that. It's more, it's not having a father at home is a big, big part of it. You know, but like I said, this world's divide, you know, is created in order to keep us apart from one another so that you're not having that good old family time. If we had that family time, the fathers were at home, you know, we wouldn't be seeing a lot of what we're dealing with right now. But they love, instead of getting to the issue and going, we need to fix things to where we encourage fathers to stay at home instead of making it easy financially and every other way. That's a part of it, but they want to focus and blame it on other things like racism, because as long as we're fighting one another, we're not fighting who we need to be fighting, and that is the tyrannical people that are behind us.
And that's the problem, is they want to keep us so separated. They want to try and make everything so controversial. I mean, look at COVID. Look at what all happened with that. I mean, the fact of the matter is they blew it all out so far out of proportion. While, yes, it did have a very large effect. I mean, my fiance almost died because of COVID. I had COVID 3 or 4 times. The only thing I ever happened to me was I lost my sense of smell and my sense of taste. Yep. And my sense of smell still never came back. But I mean, it really wasn't that bad. But they're using it as a tool to keep the population distracted and separated, not letting everybody come together, because they realize if everybody does come together, they're going to realize who we really should be against.
Yep. And we're getting 100%. There. We're getting there quickly. People are finally starting to separate.
It's going to be real interesting to see what happens on this next coming up election.
Well, I'm at the point where I don't feel like we're going to make it to that election, because I know that they're going to play dirty, and it won't be another pandemic. It won't be a pandemic necessarily with a virus, because people are over that. They'll come up with the next big fear tactic in order to have lockdowns. It's a dirty, dirty political system right now. And
you're not wrong.
And I pray that we can get through it by raising our voices rather than having to raise swords. But we're getting closer and closer to that time.
I have a sword here, but I prefer firearms.
Yeah, I think we all do.
Yes. So thank you for coming on and sharing a little bit with us, Kenneth.
Yeah, not a problem.
And I look forward to when I get back to Anchorage, you know, meeting you guys in person, because I really appreciated this amount of time and this short amount of time of getting to know you guys.
It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah. Thank you so much, man. And we're going to be praying for your family, and we're not going to let this go. Like I said, it's a matter of keeping the voices being heard, because this is one of our,
if we can bring as much awareness to this as we possibly can, because that's the issue we're having right now, is we're fighting the school board. But the thing is, we know there's a lot of other parents out in Anchorage that are dealing with the same things. And if we can get everybody collectively to come together, I would like to see a group of these parents that are going through the same things to come together with us at the school board to share all of our stories, so that they have to sit there for the entire 2 hours and hear about all the violence that's going on in their school that they don't realize, because the fact of the matter is everything that happens in the school doesn't go to the school board.
No.
And I don't know what's going on in the schools, because it goes directly to the principal. The principal handles it, and that's as far as it goes.
Yeah, we definitely stay in touch with Steve, because one thing I can tell you about him is he will be up there filming what's going on right there at that school, and we will be airing it right here.
Yeah, we would like to, you know, we're running out of time, but we'll do a follow-up on, you know, as this goes forward.
Okay.
So thank you, Ken.
I look forward to talking to you more.
Awesome, man. Well, God bless you and your family.
Thank you. Well, I'm going to step out and let Natasha get back to it. It's been a pleasure talking to you guys.
You
guys
as
have
well.
Have a wonderful day.
You too.
Thanks.
It's still sunny in Alaska.
It's definitely sunny there. It's starting to, you know, sunset here. You know, I'm not used to that at this time of night.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
I know. It's throwing you off for sure.
Yeah. So as Natasha's coming back on, I know we're going to run out of time, but, you know, in when we do a follow-up, I'd really, you know, like to further address, you know, her stepping into a fight mode with the school district.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I'm back.
Okay.
Hey, well, I'm just thankful that you shared the family with us. We got to hear all the different perspectives, because I mean, like I said, you all have a different voice and a different perspective of something, a way that you're going through this differently individually.
Of course.
And I'm grateful. Everyone here that's in the chat is just extremely horrified at the situation, but grateful that you all came on to talk about this. And like I said, this is what we do, is we have to hold on to this, not let this go, get people united, coming together on the same topics. This is how we're going to make the change.
No, absolutely. And I want to put it out there to all of the parents, honestly, nationwide, whoever is listening in, you are the voice for your children. You know, they can talk to you, get them to talk to you, get them to open up, have them tell you what's going on. I know my daughter has been very open with everything that's going on in her life. And I'm very grateful for, you know, that kind of communication. But what you need to do as parents is continue to be that welcoming, you know, safe place for your children to come to be able to open up for this. What I would like to see is more parents standing up, more parents speaking out, more parents talking and letting the school boards know that these issues are actually happening and going on. You know, as soon as I became aware, I immediately took action and I kept doing it and I kept pushing and kept pushing. So the only way that your children are going to be heard is if you become their voice and actually project it even farther than what they can. And I'm calling, honestly, all parents at this point in time to stand up and make that change, because your children right now need you. And this pandemic that's going on, you know, just internally and in our society, just nationwide, you know, is absolutely crazy. And we need to be that change.
Yes.
Well said. Thank you so much. In closing for me, I just want to thank you. I want to thank Peyton. I want to thank Kenny for coming on and talking with us. I'm sorry we're running out of time, but I would like to get back with you and touch base on your experiences with going before the school board in our next episode that we get a chance to do with you.
No, absolutely. And I actually am signing up to speak formally at the next school board meeting here in Anchorage next week. And I am also, you know, preparing for that as well. I have the ears.
What, real quick, what day is that?
So that is next Tuesday at 6 p.m. or Alaska Standard Time. Okay. It is going to go viral. And you know, I am also going to have advocates there with me to, you know, present that. I have also talked to Alaska State Legislature. I have sent a very worded email to the entire school board here in Alaska. I know that a lot of other people are having issues all over the place. So please, you know, tune in, not just here, but also check my Facebook page. We also have another one that we started to help other parents, you know, kind of move forward and in the processes of taking the school board seriously and making sure that all of this, you know, is making, you know, being aware to, you know, your situation as well as, you know, your child's safety. So I would like to invite everybody to that as well, if you guys are okay with that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, most definitely. I just want to take this opportunity real quick to thank you again. I'm really glad I got to know you outside of this episode, just being able to talk to you and being able to listen. And I think that's one of the forgotten things in communication, not only with your children, but with other adults, is actually listening.
Exactly. And that's the biggest problem right now is communication, and there is none. You know, the schools aren't even making these children aware of the impending dangers or the situations going on or why policies are even changing. So, you know, these children, they may be children, they are minors, but they are also people. And I believe, honestly, you know, if you explain certain situations, that it can actually make a huge change.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But they're not doing that.
Thank you. And thank you, Duncan, for allowing us to bring this, you know, across your platform, which you know, PTV was back in the day, Patriot Transition Voice was our voice. And now we're utilizing that on your platform every Wednesday.
Exactly.
So thank you, Duncan. Love you, brother.
Love you too. It'll always be, Alaska, Kentucky, every single Wednesday night. Matter of fact, tomorrow night's guest is Patricia Silva, who we had on from Alaska a couple weeks ago. She'll be coming on tomorrow. Mm-hmm. We're going to be going down some rabbit hole. She's going to be giving us an update on what she's been going through with the Planet Fitness thing. But Natasha, thank you so much. Thank you and your family. Like I said, we're here if you need anything. If you have any links or anything that you want us to start posting out to send to people, we'll happily do that. Stay in contact with Steve. We'll get you back on ASAP.
No, absolutely. And we would definitely be, you know, welcome or, you know, appreciative to even come back on. And I have a lot of different links and a lot of different videos that I can send you guys to, you know, help push our cause and make change for our future generations at this point.
It'd be our pleasure.
Thank you.
And Steve, man, thank you so much, man. I know you were running around like crazy today, landing here in the other portion of the United States, you know, the smaller
yes,
portion.
It was a long night.
Exactly.
But, yeah.
So, I'm sure
we made it. And Purple Patriot over there is ready for dinner.
And some hockey, I imagine. I know you guys. Yeah.
And I appreciate it too. I know that you were telling me that, you know, you were rushing, and I just everything that you guys have done so far just to get this awareness out, and not just for, you know, Alaska, but for nationwide at this point, you know, because this is becoming a pandemic for all of our children, and we need to be the change. We need to be the voice. And the only way that that's going to happen is if we all stand up together and actually make that happen.
Amen. And we're going to keep on fighting this fight. But I want to thank both of you so much for the great, great interview tonight. We'll definitely be catching up on this. I want to thank all of you out here too, for all the wonderful, sweet things you were saying, all the prayers that you're giving to the family. Thank you all so much. But as always, before we end, we're going to end with a little bit of prayer, guys. So please bow your heads. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you again for another day. Thank you for all the blessings that you give us, dear Lord. Even during the chaos, which a lot of people stress about, some people rise up to the occasion, dear Lord, to make a big change in this world. So I thank you for the voices that are becoming louder and louder. I ask, dear Lord, that you bless this beautiful family, bless Peyton as she continues to have the courage to speak out about this and to continue to go to school, where many people would have just been afraid and not wanted to go back. So bless her. Keep her out of any more harm, dear Lord, and any others that are going through a similar situation, Father. Just lay your hand on them and protect them all. Preserve this innocence, dear Lord, that we have lost in this world. But thank you for loving us to the point where we are today, Father. You have brought us a long way, and we need to step up and do what we can to help others in this world, to protect those that cannot protect themselves, to preserve the innocence, dear Lord. So I ask that you bless us with the courage, the wisdom, and discernment that we're going to need as we walk into this battle. But dear Lord, remove all of our fear, remove all of our anxiety, and just let us be as brave as we possibly can as we take on the evil in the elite in this world, dear Lord, trying to remind them who has the power here. And it's not even us, it's you, Father. But you bless us with our task and our mission, and I thank you for that as well. I ask that you continue to answer all the prayers of those that are reaching out to you for health, for financial, for anxiety, and anything else they're going through this time, Father. But Father, we just want to thank you for all that you bless us with, all that we take for granted, all that we recognize. Father, we spend too much time asking you for stuff, and we need to spend more time thanking you for what we do have, and you have blessed us, and we don't even deserve it. So we love you with all of our hearts. In Jesus Christ's name and our Heavenly Father's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So once again, thank you. Like I said, we'll be in touch. We'll be getting back here soon. And I want to thank all of you out here in the chat. You guys are amazing. You are so much full of love and prayer, and I can't thank you for allowing us to be part of your family. And as I end every show with, no matter what happens, no matter how chaotic it gets, we just need to remember one thing: God wins. So fear not, stress not, let go of all of your anxiety. Pray, pray, pray more than you ever have. Spread that gospel from nation to nation. We're going to get through this just fine. God doesn't need us, but he utilizes us, and it's quite an honor. Guys, I love you all very much.
Absolutely.
All right, we can't get through this time without our Father.
No, absolutely. And I want to take a really quick second, if that's okay,
yes,
to thank everybody that has supported, you know, everything that has happened. since day one and has continued to be supportive, you know, as well as you guys. The amount of reach out has been so just heartwarming, and the amount of people that are coming together to stand against this cause and help it push forward is just amazing. And I really appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Our pleasure. And like I said, we're going to continue pushing this out, supporting you, getting you on whenever you want to, and praying, because that's one of the greatest weapons we have right now is our Father in prayer. So
thank you so much, you guys.
Absolutely. Guys, I love y'all very, very much. We'll see you tomorrow for Kilted Christian episode 593. We will have Patricia Silver back on this show tomorrow evening. It's going to be another phenomenal interview. Have an absolutely beautiful weekend or week. God bless you all. And I leave you with the national anthem.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say.